Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
All right, so interesting stats here. Half of Americans say Trump is the victim of a witch hunt in a USA Today Suffolk poll. So half the country is getting this. The worst numbers for Mueller so far.
Well, it's true. And that's just...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it being true has nothing to do with it, though. I mean, not in this country where, you know, I mean, the propaganda is, you know, to the point where we're actually determining what is true is really, really hard.
Yes, it is. It's very hard.
You know, and you know what's interesting about this? I have all of my girlfriends, disappointingly, from college. They all vote Democrat. I wouldn't call them liberals. I don't think they're informed enough to actually have chosen that.
Right.
Most of them just vote on abortion in a general sense that the Democrat Party represents women. But I have two of them that I get, you know, Facebook messages and texts from on a regular basis going, hey, I heard this. Is this true? And one of them who I talked to recently on the phone, and there's some, there's some genuine curiosity, you know, and they were talking about Trump and this whole, Russia thing. And she said, well, you know, I mean, everybody says that Trump colluded with the Russians. This is a person who listens to NPR, right?
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, CNN, all this, mainstream stuff, doesn't listen to talk radio. I've tried to get her to listen for a long time. She said, well, you know, you say he didn't. Well, you know, explain it to me. And we were in a situation where I only had like, you know, I had five, 7 minutes left on the conversation. I was in a hurry. I had to get a kid to practice. And I realized I couldn't do it. I literally, to somebody who I had to start from the beginning, I couldn't do it. I tried, but I could not. And I said, listen, we're going to have to continue this later. And then I ended up thinking, she's going to think I can't explain this. But I literally, you can't explain to the American people what has happened and how deep this conspiracy is, how wide it is, how many people are involved, how they did it. I couldn't do it in under 7 minutes.
Well, that's the advantage.
And that's the problem.
That's the advantage that the media and the left have in being able to frame the narrative without the opposition party participating in taking down that narrative. You're trying to prove a negative.
Yeah. And I could, I mean, I'm embarrassed to admit I couldn't do it. You know, I was like, well, you know, if you give me, if we 15-minute phone call, I'll explain it to you.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, who's got 15 minutes these days?
Right. I mean, and there's no way you can get that across the American people. So it becomes a shouting contest between Trump and the media. Trump screaming witch hunt. The media screaming collusion. And whoever can scream the loudest. Some interesting stuff in this poll. And this just shows you how America literally lives. Not in a world where, you know, two sides disagree politically, but literally in a world where there's two political realities based on entirely different facts.
Right.
And it's so bizarre that we now live this way. So here's the poll. The good news is half of Americans say Trump is a victim of the witch hunt. And trust in Robert Mueller has eroded pretty seriously since, you know, as they have been polling. Support for the House of Representatives seriously consider impeaching the president over collusion has dropped since October by 10 percentage points to just 28%. But a 52% majority of Americans say they have little or no trust in the president's denials that his 2016 campaign colluded with Moscow in the election. I mean, this is remarkable given that not one shred of evidence of collusion has ever been presented, not by the left or by the right. Not one single fact ever. I mean, this is not only the biggest scandal in the United States history, political scandal dwarfing Watergate. This is the biggest hoax ever perpetrated, I think, on the American people politically.
Pretty much. I mean, I can think of plenty of scandals in this country that where there were facts involved.
Yep.
Where there were actual deeds that could be documented and, in fact, were. But this is a completely made-up narrative where there may have been a few anecdotal things that if you were really a tinfoil left-wing conspiracy addict that you could say, oh, well, this must be why it happened, or this is what's on this person's heart, or this is what they were thinking. But you have nothing concrete to base this upon.
There was never a connection between the Kremlin or Putin and Trump's campaign ever. Ever. And I'm not, I'm unlike most, I'm not even willing to say that the Russians interfered at all in this election because I've yet to see proof of it. I have never seen proof of it. I mean, we have some intel people, most of whom have perjured themselves already from, you know, before Congress in one way or another saying it happened. But they have never produced proof. So, I mean, I can't tell my, you know, my listeners that there has been collusion, but Trump did, you know, or there has been interference in the election, but Trump didn't participate, because I don't know what the interference is. I still can't tell you what it is on a fact basis.
And I guarantee you, everybody, or not everybody, but many who are not well-informed believe that the situation with Flynn and Manafort, the indictments and their convictions and their you know, guilty pleas, that's all because of the Russian collusion. That's I would seriously think that's what many uninformed people think. And actually, those have absolutely nothing to do with Donald Trump at all, period, end of story. And the left knows that, and the media knows that. But they keep positioning headlines and advancing narratives to keep pushing this story.
Meanwhile, from the gosh, this is bizarre file, and how on earth is Mueller still has not recused himself from this investigation, this has just come out. We've been following this here, how Paul Manafort did not file, did not declare as a foreign agent, because he was working, you know, on behalf to influence what was going on in Ukraine, right? With Tony Podesta, John Podesta is Hillary Clinton's chief fundraiser. Tony Podesta raised a ton of money for Hillary, too. They're both fundraisers for Hillary. So Manafort is working literally with Tony Podesta in the Ukraine and here to lobby on behalf of the Ukraine, broke the law by not filing as a foreign agent. Well, so did Tony.
Keep in mind, too, that John Podesta is the former White House chief of staff for President Bill Clinton.
Right, right. No, yeah. So, I mean, you literally have Tony Podesta, who was allowed to file late and never was arrested, never charged, whereas Manafort not only was charged, but now has been convicted and will do prison time for not registering on the deal he worked on with Tony Podesta. Literally, Hillary's fundraiser skates with no charges. And Manafort, who worked with him, is sitting in solitary confinement. Okay, you want to know something nuts? As they were trying to influence the Ukraine to elect pro-Russian leaders, okay, so this is what the Kremlin wants. They want pro-Russian leaders in the Ukraine. One of the things that that Tony Podesta and Manafort did was send a bunch of politicians over for photo ops to meet with the pro-Russian Ukrainian leadership that they wanted to install in the Ukraine. Do you know who Manafort and Tony Podesta sent to the Ukraine to shake hands, do media tours, and pimp for the Russian sort of affiliated or leaning Ukrainian leadership? This is incredible. I'm looking at the pictures right now. Hillary Clinton. And wait for it. Oh, this is nuts. Robert Mueller.
Oh my God.
So Manafort and Tony Podesta sent Hillary and Robert Mueller to the Ukraine while acting as unregistered agents. Mueller comes back and indicts, among other things, with Manafort. Manafort did legitimately break some laws, had nothing to do with Trump or Russia collusion, but whatever. Mueller comes back and indicts Manafort for sending him to the Ukraine to pimp on behalf of the Russian government, basically, to get their puppets elected in Ukraine. Here's my question. Did Mueller register as a foreign agent? I don't know. I can't find it.
Yeah.
Love to know.
Yeah. Somehow I doubt that.
How has Mueller not had to recuse himself from this investigation? He's smack in the middle of it.
He has. If this is true, and I am assuming it is because I know you do your homework.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures right now.
There is more reason
of him in the Ukraine
to recuse himself than there was for Jeff Sessions to recuse himself as Attorney General.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, texter writes, what about Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner Kushner is Trump's son-in-law, meeting with a Russian lawyer with connections to the Kremlin, saying she had dirt on Hillary. What about it? It took less than 15 minutes for them to realize she was lying. She had no dirt on Hillary. And then when they realized that, they booted her out the door. Let me turn this question back around on the texter. What about the Russian lawyer with connections to the Kremlin being allowed into the country on a special visa personally approved by Obama Attorney General Loretta Lynch? What about that? Not a little weird? Kind of strange, isn't it? I mean, if there's no collusion. Right? I mean, if the only collusion is on the Trump side, then sure looks like Loretta Lynch colluded to let her into the country. Isn't that strange? And then it's even stranger that before the meeting with Trump Jr., Manafort, and Kushner, that this Russian lawyer with connections to the Kremlin met with Fusion GPS, and after the meeting, she met with Fusion GPS, which is really odd since Fusion GPS was on the Hillary Clinton campaign payroll via Perkins Coie. I mean, so if you're going to ask that question about the meeting, you got to turn it around. Why was the Hillary Clinton campaign paying Fusion GPS to meet with lawyers with connections to the Kremlin? Because it sure looks like they sent her in there. What, you met with her before and after? What are the odds of that? Before and after the meeting? See, the problem is the framing of the question. The connections between the Hillary campaign, the FBI, Perkins Coie, and Fusion GPS are legion. But nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's not illegal for Manafort, Kushner, and Trump Jr. to meet with a Russian lawyer who claims she has connections or claims she has dirt on Hillary. There's no law breaking there. None whatsoever. And everybody at the meeting, including the Russian lawyer, admit she had no dirt on Hillary. She didn't give them dirt on Hillary because she didn't have it. Even the FBI admits that. So I'm not sure I understand your question. Ooh, they talked to a Russian. Yeah, Hillary paid a Russian. And then lied about it on her FEC report, her elections report. Which, by the way, is a crime. There's two crimes there. One, paying a foreign national over $50,000. That was Christopher Steele. And two, lying about it on your campaign finance report. The questions are all on Hillary's side, not the Trump folks. So in answer to your question, there's nothing there other than they ought to investigate the payments by the Hillary campaign to the foreign national Christopher Steele, the lies on the FEC report, and what Fusion GPS was doing meeting with the Russian national with connections to the Kremlin, who got a very strange personally approved visa to come into the country in the first place from Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch should be grilled on that. Hillary should be grilled on that. Her campaign manager should be grilled on that. And the FEC ought to be brought before Congress and grilled on why they never prosecuted the Clinton campaign over it, or at least fined them. You know, it's a felony, right? Over $50,000 paid to a foreign national. Texter writes, you know we have lost America when you see Fox pulling Judge Jeanine Pirro's show for speaking the truth against Muslim hate. Well, I wouldn't call. I don't want to go that far as the texter. I'm just reading the text line here. I'm not sure that wearing a hijab on your head is Muslim hate. I think that's a bit of a stretch there to assume that. But when you're looking at it the way that Lee brilliantly did yesterday, which is to say, look, we literally had a Catholic Trump appointee to a federal judgeship grilled about whether she should be allowed to be a judge in America because she was Catholic and might have dual loyalty to the Vatican, might have the doctrine living a little too loudly in her. Dianne Feinstein. And we had people on CNN and MSNBC echoing that and debating that. Well, can a Catholic person who's as, you know, Catholic as she is be allowed to serve in the judiciary? Does she have dual loyalty? And none of them are booted off those stations. But yet, Jeanine Pirro asked the opposite question. Well, hey, listen, you know, if you practice Sharia law, you believe in Sharia law, can you be loyal to this country? Pirro is off the show. And all the guys on CNN and MSNBC who did the same thing, they're not off anything. Dianne Feinstein doesn't have to apologize. So the problem here, again, is the double standard. It's the absolute double standard that you are seeing in America, where certain kind of speech is dubbed offensive. If you say the same thing about Catholics or even Christians that you say about Muslims, it's okay. But if you say it about a Muslim, you got to lose your show. And we have to pick a standard in this country. We're going to either agree that if you have strong religious convictions, whether you're Muslim or you're Catholic or whatever, that you cannot be allowed to serve in Congress or on the judiciary. We have to agree to that. Okay, you got to be secular. Can't be religious anymore. Or we got to go the other way and say, listen, we're just going to take your word for it that your strong religious beliefs will not interfere with your decisions. The problem is we split the baby. Well, it's, you know, you can't say that about Muslims, but it's a totally legitimate question about Catholics. That's where the outrage is. We got to go one way or the other as a country. And yet we're not. We are not. Text line 71307. Coming up in the next segment, Must Hear Radio. The media has been on fire for the last couple of days about the New Zealand shooting. It is, of course, Trump's fault because of his anti-immigration rhetoric. No, I'm sorry. I correct myself. Anti-illegal immigration rhetoric. You cannot speak about illegals coming into the country or you're going to get people killed. And besides, it's only white supremacists who have a problem with illegals coming into the country by the millions. And so, yes, we have to stop having the debate because people might get killed. And see, Trump caused the New Zealand shooting. Well, if that is the logic, if political rhetoric can somehow cause a maniac to shoot up a mosque, then why did Nancy Pelosi, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cory Booker, Beto O'Rourke, the fake Mexican, and all the Democrats not cause this shooting with their rhetoric? Wait, what? Yeah, he was repeating their rhetoric in his manifesto on the environment. The part of the manifesto by the New Zealand shooter that nobody is talking about. Nobody is talking about. Wait till you hear it. It could have come right out of an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez campaign stop. So why aren't they responsible for the shooting? I'll explain coming up next. Yes, yeah, so the reason that the New Zealand mosque shooting, the horrific New Zealand mosque shooting occurred, was because Trump is a white supremacist. And so he's inspiring white supremacy all over the world. I'm not going to play you the media montage on this. It just makes me ill. Yep, and so we can extrapolate that. We can know that because we're CNN, and we can tell by looking at Trump. Folks, do you remember when that Muslim of Afghan origin shot up that gay nightclub in Florida, killed 49 people? Do you think that was a bias crime there? I mean, do you think that there could be some bias involved? I mean, gay nightclub targeted by enraged Muslim who declared his fealty to ISIS in a 911 call during the shooting. Remember the FBI swooped in, took the tape, the recording of the 911 call? Do you remember that? Illegally, by the way. That's free. That was subject to the Freedom of Information Act. They just walked in and took it. And they held it for well over a year so that we would not know he pledged allegiance to ISIS while executing gay people for simply being gay. And what were we told about that shooting? Mark Stein nails this in his column this week. So if a Muslim of Afghan origin shoots up a gay nightclub in Florida and kills 49 people, that's just one crazed loner. And no broader lessons can be discerned from his act. Nobody's to blame. It's just purely him. And besides, the FBI will cover up his motives by hiding the tape for a year. On the other hand, if a white guy shoots up two mosques in New Zealand and kills 50 people, that indicts us all. And we need to impose worldwide restraints on free speech to make sure it doesn't happen again. Why do we accept this double standard? Why is it that we can believe that it's one lone Muslim lunatic who's radicalized and nuts, and you cannot take him as a sign or a symbol of any group of people or any kind of ideology, but one lone nut goes and shoots up a mosque and kills Muslims, and it's all of our fault, specifically Donald Trump's. But if we're going to accept that rhetoric causes these mass shootings, and that we can directly put the blame on politicians or people the media doesn't like and their followers, then who's to blame for the shooting in New Zealand, really? Well, Trump, well, no. You can make a good argument that you could pin it on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Nancy Pelosi, and the entire Democrat presidential field. Why? Because if you read the 74-page manifesto of the shooter, and by the way, it is profound what he wrote in terms of his understanding of U.S. politics and what he aimed to do with the shooting. You want to know what he aimed to do with the shooting? It's not what CNN told you. His stated goal was to prompt a greater push for gun control and the abolition of the Second Amendment in the U.S. Who's pushing for that? It was the Democrats. Strange. Is this not their fault? He wanted to spark a schism that would divide the country, the U.S., and cause its collapse. Wait, what? Here's what he wrote. I could have chosen, this is the New Zealand shooter, I could have chosen any weapon or any means. A TATP-filled rental van, household flour, a method of dispersion and an ignition source, a ball-peen hammer and wooden shield, gas, fire, vehicular attacks, planned attacks, any means were available. I had the will and the resources, he writes. This is the New Zealand shooter, if you're just tuning in. I chose firearms for the effect it would have on the social discourse, the extra media coverage that would provide I chose firearms, the New Zealand shooter writes, for the effect it would have on social discourse, the extra media coverage they would provide if he used guns, and the effect it would have on the politics of the United States and thereby the political situation of the world. Now, wait a minute. You read this. Who caused this? The Democrats advocating for the end of the Second Amendment and the media who covers shootings more if they're, you know, or mass killings more if they're done with guns. But they won't tell you this, will they? He says the U.S. is torn into many factions by its Second Amendment. Again, this is the New Zealand shooter, for those of you just tuning in his manifesto. The U.S. is torn into many factions by its Second Amendment, along with state, social, cultural, and most importantly, racial lines. With enough pressure, the left wing within the United States will seek to abolish the Second Amendment, the New Zealand shooter wrote, and the right wing within the U.S. will see this as an attack on their very freedom and liberty. This attempted abolishment of rights by the left will result in a dramatic polarization of the people of the United States and eventually a fracturing of the U.S. along cultural and racial lines. He wants to start a civil war here. He's telling you why he did this. It's because he knew the left, he used guns because he knew the left would use this to attempt to abolish the Second Amendment, and that he hoped would cause a civil war that would collapse the United States of America. Now, whose rhetoric is to blame for that? Who's running around advocating for the abolishment of the Second Amendment? The left. I mean, so if you're going to use this standard and blame Trump, then should we not blame them for the shooting? I think both are ridiculous. I think this guy's a nut and it's his fault. He wanted to be used by the American mainstream media. He knew how to push their buttons so that they would help him divide the country along Second Amendment lines. This was not an attack that just had a simple-minded premise of, you know, oh zombie-like, I'm going to go follow Trump. He had a very specific goal in mind. He goes on. It gets worse. Do you know, remember he declared himself an eco-fascist. And then he wrote that Muslims have children at a higher rate than non-Muslims. And that he wanted to inspire others to kill Muslims so that they could not reproduce and harm the earth. Where have we lately seen encouragement about not reproducing because it harms the earth? Who told us that we shouldn't have children because it harms the earth and the world is going to end anyway? Who was that? Wasn't Trump. It'll come to me. Folks, it's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She could have written this. Minus the, you know, Muslim birth rate part. Did you hear any reporting of this from the mainstream media? No, of course not. Of course you didn't. This guy was a sicko. He was an absolute sicko, but he sought to use and amplify the Democrats' anti-Second Amendment rhetoric to tear the country apart. And in his opinion, it was an added bonus that he could attack a group that had a higher birth rate because he felt people shouldn't be breeding. It was bad for the world. Democrat talking points from just the last couple of weeks. Why aren't they responsible for this? And of course, listen, I mean, this is a rhetorical argument. I don't blame the Democrats or the Republicans. This guy was nuts. Clearly crazy. It's his fault. Nobody made him do this with something they said. But if you're going to argue that something somebody said made him do this, if you read this manifesto, there's a lot stronger case the Democrats' rhetoric caused this shooting, specifically their rhetoric on the Second Amendment. Good morning. Well, it looks like one in five Americans will gamble on the NCAA tournament this year. One in five. Wow, that's like 20%, even in Common Core math. They'll wager a grand total of $8.5 billion. And right now, among the gamblers, if you're looking at Vegas odds, which is what I like to do, the top picks to win it all are in this order: Duke, Gonzaga, and North Carolina. By the way, if you want to play with us, do your brackets with us, against us, or just in general, to get great prizes, you can right now by going to 1063WORD.com. I've already filled out my brackets. And you can, and mine are publicly available, so if you would like to use them as an inspiration for your brackets, you can. I have a very well-documented winning record. In fact, I regularly beat the sports guys on the ESPN channel. So, you know, just if you want to take my bracket picks, you're welcome to them. They're right there online. But please do join us. There's some great prizes. I can't even believe what you can win in each round is unbelievable. All kinds of gift certificates, restaurant gift certificates, concert tickets, grills, smokers. It'd be like Christmas to win one of the rounds. And you have a chance to win in each round, which is really cool. But you have to sign up by Thursday at 11:45 and do your first round of picks. You can do your second round later, but you got to do that. So you can go on there. I'm under Tara S. Pretty obvious. But yeah. So I'm looking forward again to playing against Bobby Mack, Lonzo, Vince, and all the boys here in the building, hoping to beat them this year. I do most years. Not every year, but I do most years. And that despite knowing essentially very little about basketball. I won't tell you my secret how I do it. But yeah, I've got a great track record, and we'll see if it holds up this year. How that goes. So please don't miss out on your opportunity to win those. And by the way, if you're going to have an office, bracket challenge, bracket competition, why not do it with us? Because you actually get to win cool stuff. You know what I mean? And then it'll all be right there online, nice and neat for everybody in the office to see. You can all play together. That's what's really cool. You can go in and not just do your own bracket pick by yourself, but you could do it as a group as well. And that way, you got all the free prizes. Do it for your office. Your office doesn't even have to provide the prizes. We will. It's just a winning way to have a lot of fun. Take the bracket challenge. See if you can beat me, your humble host. And win great stuff. So right there, 1063WORD.com. Tommy is on the line. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Tara. How's it going?
Good.
I just had one real quick question. I keep hearing people go on and on about religion, and the senators are commenting on the mosque shooting. And I was wondering, whatever happened to the separation of church and state? Because when I was growing up, it wasn't that long ago, but in ELP class, we learned in the Constitution, they spoke often about there was supposed to be a separation of the religious views and political views that helped usher in our age of unity, if you will, the melting pot, if you will. We were able to get along better when we put our religions aside and focused more on working together as a community. And I was just wondering why the hyper emphasis on religion, even though there are terrorist in either group. I mean, the Christian fundamentalist, like Timothy McVeigh or whatever his name was, blew up the...
What? No, wait. Okay, let me stop you there, Tom, because we're almost at the end. Timothy McVeigh was not a religious fundamentalist. He was an agnostic. He was really clear about that. In his interview, religion did not influence what he did. The media has just lied to the public about that. But if you go straight to the horse's mouth, that Timothy McVeigh did not do that for religious purposes. When you talk about separation of church and state, yes, we have that. Separation of church and mosque, no. Congress just passed a thing basically saying that Ilhan Omar could wear her head covering on the floor of Congress. So they did that. But Christians, no. Christianity, you can't even be Christian now and be seriously considered by the Democrats for a judgeship. You could be Muslim, though. That'd be fine. Why is that, you're asking, Tommy? Math. Everything with the left comes down to math. Muslims do not need to be separated from the state. The Muslim religion, Islam, does not need to be separated from the state because Muslims, particularly Sunni Muslims, reliably vote Democrat 88 to 92% of the time. So that's fine. Christians do not. They vote Republican overwhelmingly, and so they must be banned from the public square. So that's why that's going on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.